Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. All right, Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here. And God, we're thankful for the Bible that we have. We know it is the words of God. These words are pure words. The Bible says, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. These words have been tried and they've been tested and they're true. And we thank you for them. And Lord, I pray that you teach us from your word this morning. We pray for Brother Bruce and Sherry that you take care of them today. We pray for Scott, God, that you'd help him heal up. Lord, we also pray for the kids going to camp. We pray for the teachers also. Give them a good week. Pray that the weather would be good for them. And Lord, I ask that you'd meet with us here this morning. Pray that you'd meet every need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I go any further, my mouth gets so dry, I got to have my water. And I ain't very much good without it, but I feel like I already got cotton mouth already. I think a lot of it's nerves. A lot of it's nerves, but I always get nervous getting up here at first, and hopefully I can shake the nerves, you know. I got told Callie yesterday, she asked me if I got nervous, and I says, well, yeah, I always get nervous when I get up here. It's because I got to give an account for everything I say. I want to make sure I don't say something I ought not to say. But Genesis 28, many of you are familiar with Jacob's story. Now, Jacob, I tell you, as far as characters go in the Scripture, he wasn't one of the best of them. I mean, you look there in verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me. God said, I'm going to be with you. He said, well, if you will be with me. He wasn't a great man of faith, but he is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Something happened to Jacob along the way. He changed something along the way. But he wasn't the best fellow ever was. Jacob, the name itself means supplanter. That's a deceiver. And early in Jacob's life, you've seen a lot of deception in Jacob's life. I mean, one day, Jacob, he was sitting at home there. He was making some soup, making it out of lentils and some other things like that. The Bible says he sawed pottage. And his brother Esau came out of the field. Esau was faint. Esau thought he was about ready to die. And he said, feed me some of that same red pottage, Jacob. And, of course, Jacob, being the good brother that he was, he says, well, I'll sell it to you for your birthright. I mean, good brother. I mean, here his brother's about ready to die from starvation, about ready to faint. Jacob says, I'll sell it to you. Anyway, Esau says, well, I'm at the point of dying. What good's my birthright going to do me? All right, I'll sell it to you. Give me some of the pottage. So Jacob sold, or Esau sold his birthright for that there red pottage. And after he sold the pottage, Esau despised his birthright. And matter of fact, he started having some bad feelings toward his brother. But Esau says, well, I still got the blessing. You know, someday my dad will get old, and I still got that blessing coming. You know, that'll be good. I ain't got the birthright no more, but I'll get the blessing. Well, time passed, and Isaac got old. And Isaac says to Esau, he says, Esau, go out there in the field and get me some venison and make me some savory meat such as I love, and I'll eat that venison. And he says, after I eat that thing, I'm going to bless you. Well, as he was saying that, somebody just happened to be over, or somebody happened to be dropping in, you know, eavesdropping. That was Rebekah. And as soon as Esau took off out of there, Rebekah runs to Jacob, says, Jacob, here's what I want you to do. Now, you wonder who Jacob got his deceiving ways from. It was his mother. Anyway, she says, Jacob, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out there and get a kid of the flocks and bring him in real fast, and I'm going to make some savory meat for your father, such as he loves. And whenever he eats that thing, he's going to bless you. And Jacob says, well, wait a minute. I'm a smooth man, and my brother's a hairy man. And I'm going to go in there and go for this blessing, and it's going to be a turn into a curse rather than a blessing, because he's going to know I'm deceiving him, trying to deceive him. Now, Isaac was old. His eyes were set. He couldn't see no more. But Rebekah says, well, just you do this, and you get some skins off of that goat there, and you put them on your arms there, and you put some of them skins of that goat on the smooth of your neck. And when you go in there, I'm going to give you some Esau's clothes. As a matter of fact, Esau's clothes are there in the house. So she put some of Esau's clothes on him and put them goat skins on his arm and on the back of his neck. And he goes in there and he says, here I am, Father. I got some savory meat such as you love. I come for the blessing. And Isaac says, well, who art thou? Now, something was wrong. Isaac says, who art thou? And he says, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. He says, how'd you find us so soon? Jacob says, well, the Lord gave it to me. The Lord brought it to me. I mean, lying, deceiving, not the best guy in the Bible. And I think seven times there in Genesis, that's a little bit before that, seven times Isaac was questioning who Jacob really was. And but anyway, Isaac heard the words. He said, the words are those like Jacob, but you smell like your brother. I mean, you got your brother's clothes on there. I mean, but he did. He said, you smell like a field, and you're rough, and you're hairy. You know, he felt the back of his neck and the arms and stuff like that. And he says, all right, I'm going to bless you. So he gives Jacob the blessing. And Jacob not only got the birthright, he stole the blessing. And no longer than he got that blessing, and he was out of that tent, here come Esau. Esau came in. And as soon as he came in, he says, Father, here I am. Here's some savory meat, such as you love it. And of course, Isaac done filled up. Doesn't give the blessing away. And he says, who art thou? And he says, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. And Isaac says, oh boy. And he tells that your brother came in here and deceived me. And Esau says, yeah, he's rightly named Jacob, isn't he? He's a supplanter. He's a deceiver. Well, Esau said, well, as soon as my father gets old and dies, and I'm going to kill that there Jacob. Wasn't going to kill him while Isaac was alive, but he said, as soon as my dad's gone, I'm going to kill him. And Rebekah, being the eavesdropping woman she was, she overheard that too. And so what she did was she told Jacob, she says, I want you to get out of here and go back to my brother Laban back there in Haran, and go back there and get away from Esau lest he kill you. And so what Jacob did was he left out of there. He was afraid for his life. He left out of the promised land, the place of blessing, and he went away. And he went out there toward Haran. On the way to Haran, Jacob knew of God, but Jacob did not know God. He knew of him. He's heard of him. But God had not revealed himself to Jacob as yet. And in Genesis 28, or in verse 12, Jacob, he laid down one night. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He seen this here ladder in his dream. The ladder of the bottom was on the earth, and the top of it was in heaven. And he's seen a way from somebody to get from the earth to heaven. Now, if you're reading John 1:51 sometime, it'll tell you who that is. That's Jesus Christ. He said, "Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I mean, this is not really a salvation message, but if you're not saved here today, look, the only way you can get there from here, from the earth to heaven, is by Jesus Christ. He's the only way. There's no other way. But in that dream, God made a threefold unconditional covenant with Jacob. And in verse 13, this is concerning the land. He says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed." And verse 14 was concerning his lineage. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And in verse 15 was concerning his life. "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." You know what? God said, God knew Jacob was going to leave that promised land. But God said, "I'm going to be with you, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to bring you back into this land." And you know what Jacob had to do to get that covenant? He didn't have to do nothing. He was asleep when he got that covenant made to him. He didn't have to get baptized, didn't have to do anything. He just got that covenant made to him. Now you think about this. God said he's going to leave, and he said, "I'm going to bring you back." You know, for a long time there, Jacob was immortal. Nothing could kill him. God said, "I'm going to bring you back into the land." And Lester Roloff said this once. He said, "If you're in the will of God and God's got something for you to do, you are immortal. Nothing can kill you." You know, you might want to make sure you're in the will of God. Make sure you're not out of the will of God. But the Lord, He don't leave those who He makes that promise to. I talked to a guy down there on Chenoweth Fork here a couple of weeks ago. He's 89 years old. He was hard of hearing. He couldn't hardly see. He could hear just a little bit when I yelled real loud, and every time I talked to him, his wife would answer for him. And I said, "Do you know for sure that you're saved?" And she said, "Well, he was saved once, but he quit going to church and stuff like that." And I said, I can't remember his name now, but I said, "When you left God, did God leave you?" And that old fella, tears got in his eyes, and he didn't say anything. But you know what? Just because somebody leaves God don't mean God leaves them. He said, the Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And a lot of people leave the Lord today. Don't mean he goes anywhere. Jacob was a man who was in the place of blessing, and he left that place, and he went to Haran. Now, you know what happened if you've read much there about Jacob when he went to Haran. Well, he got busy, and he met Laban. Of course, Laban had two daughters, and one was Leah, the older, and one was Rachel, the younger. And then Jacob, he loved Rachel. If you look in Genesis 29, verse 17, it says Leah was tender-eyed. And that means cross-eyed. You know, you ever seen somebody cross-eyed? That's what Leah was. She's cross-eyed. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob, he loved Rachel. And he says, "Well, Laban, I'm going to be here a while. I'm going to serve you for Rachel." And I can never figure out how this happened. He worked them 7 years, you know. And that day they made a feast. And, you know, Laban said it's not right, you know, to give the older before the younger. But Jacob thought he was getting Rachel. But he woke up that morning about 5 o'clock in the morning. Somebody threw a fit 5 o'clock in the morning. When that sun shone in there, she pulled them covers down. He sees them cross eyes looking at her. "Laban, something's wrong here." You know, he He was deceived. You know, what goes around comes around, right? I mean, he was a deceiver, and he got deceived there. And he ended up with Leah, and I'm sure he was upset about that thing, but he says, well, I love this Rachel. I'm going to work another 7 years for her. And he worked another. I mean, would you work 7 years for your wife? Amen, brother, I sure would. Yes, sir, amen. You better say, don't hesitate when you say that, you know. I'm sure I'd work 7 years for my wife. But Jacob, what he got kind of busy. Served 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel, and 6 years for the cattle. And there come a time, 20 years had passed by, Jacob was outside of the land of blessing. He was way over here. Now there was a day when God revealed himself to Jacob, and 20 years passed by. There was a day when Jacob was closer to God than he was during them 20 years. And 20 years had passed by, even though he acknowledged God in his life, and you can see God working in his life all the way through those 20 years. He didn't have an altar. He was outside the land of blessing. Sometimes people get away from God. And in Genesis 31, in verse 11, it says, "And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I." Now this is after the 20 years had passed. And he said, "Lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringed straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." Well, Jacob was closer to God there at Bethel, but he went away for about 20 years. And God come to him one day and said, "I want you to go back. Go back to the land." Now go over to Genesis 35. Genesis 35. And verse 1 it says, "And God said to Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Well, Jacob was away from the land of blessing without an altar. He was away from God, even though God was still in his life and God was still working in his life. It was God that came to Jacob and said, "I want you to go back." You know, sometimes people get away from God. And at one time, maybe one time in your life, you were closer to God than you are now. You know, God wants you to get back to where you once was. It's easy, I guess, to get away from God in this world, get so entangled with the affairs of this life, and we get so busy. Sometimes we need to get back to Bethel. Bethel was a place to reestablish fellowship with God. Sometimes we need to get back to Bethel. You know, maybe was there a time in your life when you were closer to God? Well, what happened? Did you get sidetracked? Something catch your attention? He was a diligent worker. I mean, if you read those years he was in Haran, how much he worked, how hard he worked, and it's a good thing to work. And God gives a man the ability to work. And over in Ephesians, it tells you why God gives you the ability to work. And it's so you can give to others. He gives you the ability to work, to make money or to get things so you can give to other people. That's why he gives you the ability to work. But it's good work. You know, the Bible says if a man don't work, he ought not to eat. Now, that'd be a good law in this country. I'll tell you, make some people work if they got hungry. But in this country, it's they don't like that rule, you know. But you need to get back to Bethel. You know, think about this. If you were closer to God back then than you are now, what was you like back then? What was you doing back then? That's a place you need to get back to. You know, whenever people are close to God, they have a desire for the words of God. If you're close to God today, you're in this book. If you've gotten away from God, I tell you what you've done. One thing you've done, you've left this book behind. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." You know, God wants you to desire this book. And you say, "Well, I used to desire it, but I don't desire it now." How do you get a desire for this book? I tell you, if you ain't got a desire for this book, pray that God will give you a desire for this book. There's sometimes, brother, that sometimes I really don't want to read it, and I'm sure you're like that too. Sometimes we really just, it's a struggle to get in here and read this thing. But there ain't nothing wrong with the book, and there ain't nothing wrong with God. The problem's with you. What we need to do is just get in there and start reading it again and say, God, give me a desire for that thing. Because you're closer to God when you're in this book. Maybe at that time in your life you was praying. And maybe you've quit praying. You need to get back to praying again. You're closer to God when you're in this book, and you're closer to God in your prayer closet than you are when you're out there working all the time. Look, if you're so busy that you don't have time for God, you're too busy. Some things in this life are not that important. And some things in this life you can just put away and spend some more time with God. Like I said, that church camp thing, it'd do us all good to go to church camp for a week or two, but we say, well, I can't take time out of my busy schedule. And it'd be better for us to take time out of our busy schedule and get close to God again, go back to Bethel. Back at one time in your life, or my life even, I remembered when I got saved, nothing else mattered. Nothing else, nothing on this earth mattered other than me getting up there in front and asking Jesus Christ to save me. My car didn't matter, my house didn't matter, my family didn't matter, money didn't matter, nothing mattered. It's just, I need to be saved. Paul said it like this. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. And that's where a lot of people get to in their life when they realize their eternal state, their sin, where it's sending them to. And they get to that place, well, I got to get saved. Nothing else matters. But Paul, he said this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know, Paul, he counted everything but loss, but he continued to count everything but loss all through his life. And some people, they'll count everything but loss, nothing else matters. But a few years down the road, they start getting away from God because their eyes get on them things of the world again. And they think them things have some value again when they don't have any value at all. And you know what? The Lord wants us to grow. If you read that parable sometime, Matthew 13 talks about that sower, where he goes out and sows. And the Bible says when he sows, some fell by the wayside where the fowls came and got that up. And then it says some fall among the thorns, and some among the stones, and some on the good ground. Now that good ground's where you want to lay at, because it'll bring forth fruit. But you know, one of them places, I think it's the thorns, Jesus said when that seed fell among thorns, it choked it, and it wasn't able to grow. That seed started, and it started growing. But it got up so far that it was strangled by all the thorns. He said that stuff, that's the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, we get so entangled in the affairs of this life that we just get away from God. We're like Jacob. We just get so busy in this life, even though God's still in our life and He's working in our life, but our fellowship with Him, I don't know where it went. It's just gone. We need to get back to Bethel, back to the things we used to do. And at one time in your life, if you were close to the Lord, you was thankful. You ought to still thank the Lord every day for saving you. At least do that. Get up in the Lord. Thank the Lord that you give me another day. Thank you that you give me breath. Thank you for saving me, a sinner. And we ought to be thankful. And you were serving. When you were close to the Lord, you was serving. You was out. Maybe you was holding up some signs. You was going visiting. But you was being faithful, trying to serve the Lord. But what happened? Well, you know, God did not go anywhere. You know, there was an old man and an old woman in a car. They were driving down the road one day, and she was on that side of the car, and he was on this side of the car. And up in front of them was a young couple. And the young guy, he was sitting there driving, and the young girl, man, she was right on top of it, right next to him, you know. And the old guy and old woman in the back seen that, and the old woman, she says, you remember when we used to do that? And he looked over at her, and he says, I didn't move. And you know what? She had moved from here and moved over there. You know, God didn't go anywhere. You moved. You went somewhere. and you've got farther away from God now than what you used to be. You need to get back to God. But you know what's worse than a man who doesn't read his Bible? It's a man who used to read his Bible. You know what's worse than a man who don't pray anymore? Or worse than a man who don't pray? It's a man who don't pray anymore. And what's worse than a man who don't serve the Lord? It's somebody who don't serve the Lord anymore. I talked to an old fellow one time, and he said, "I used to preach." And I said, well, why'd you quit? He says, "Well, we just got old. And look, the Bible says they shall still bring forth fruit in old age." I mean, if God give you something to do in this life, don't do it. Don't quit doing it till you're dead. And don't quit. But people quit nowadays. Maybe they need to get back to Bethel. Bethel was a place to reestablish fellowship with God. Now, Genesis 35:2, it says, "Then Jacob said unto his household, to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments." Bethel, not only is it a place to reestablish fellowship with God, it's a place of repentance and cleansing. See, during those 20 years, Jacob accumulated a lot of junk, a lot of things. When he left the promised land and went to Haran, it was just him by himself. He came back, he had a whole family, but he came back with an idolatrous wife, two murdering sons, and enemies all around him now. He picked up a lot of things. And you know, you can pick up a lot of things when you're away from God that you wished you never got. You can pick up a lot of weights in this old world. And Jacob said there, "Put away the strange gods that are among you." Sometimes you just need a good old house cleaning. You know them things you picked up along the way? You need to just clean your house up and get them things out of your life. Put the strange gods away from among you. And then he says, "And be clean." You know what people need to do to get clean today? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you need to get back there and start confessing some sins again. Get some things out of your life. Start confessing them sins again. And then it says, be clean and change your garments. You know, in the Bible, what you wear is your righteousness. And during those 20 years, his garments changed. Now, one time in your life, you was clean after you'd gotten saved. And you just started picking up the filth of this world. You know what you need to do? You need to start doing right again. You need to start just being right, living right, change your garments. The Bible says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh." You need to just get things right. Go back to Bethel. Bethel was that place of repentance. It was a place of cleansing. You remember that story about the prodigal son, how he went away from his father's house? When he came back, he didn't have nothing. He didn't have nothing of any value at all. He just ruined a lot of time in his life. He'd been away from his father's house. But I tell you, when he came back, his father was glad to see him come back. His father was asking for him. You know, it was God that came to Jacob and said, "Go back to Bethel." It wasn't just Jacob come along and said, "Well, I think I need to get back." God wanted him back in that place of blessing. Look, God wants you to get back to where you once was if you've been away from it. I know maybe this ain't for everybody. Maybe it's just for one person out here. I don't know. But, you know, the Lord laid this thing on my heart, and all you can do sometimes is just, when you're out in the field with the plow, you just plow. That's all you can do. You just, whatever the message is, just go with it. But Bethel was that place of repentance and cleansing. It was a place to reestablish fellowship with God, and it was a place of remembrance. Now, Genesis 35:3, "And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which Bethel." It was a place of remembrance. It was a place where Jacob looked back, and he could remember when Esau was going to come after him, and how God answered him, and God kept him. And Jacob looked back, you know, God says, "I'm going to keep you in all the ways that you go, and I'm going to bring you back again into this land." And God did exactly what He said He would do. God was faithful. And Jacob remembered that. Now, Ephesians 2, you hold your place there, Ephesians 2. Do you remember where God brought you from? Do you ever remember that? Think back to what you was, and God brought you out of that thing. Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the son of disobedience, among whom also we all had our station in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." That's what we used to be. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." You know, what we used to be was an awful person. We used to be in an awful mess. It's good to go back to Bethel sometime and just remember what God brought you out of. And you know what? Verse 4, it says, "But God." You know, I'm glad that there was a "but God" in my life. I'm glad. I bet you're glad that there was a "but God." You know, at one time in my life, I was without joy, without peace, without hope. But God come along. God come along. I'm glad there was a "but God" in my life. Every sinner you know, their life was a wreck and they was on their way to hell. But God come along. And God intervened. And when God intervenes, man, He makes things much better. When God comes along, sometimes I get to thinking about, God, you surely must have made some kind of mistake when you saved me. You made some kind. I mean, there was things I should have done. I think 15, 12, 13 years ago, I had plans of some of the things I would do, and I didn't do those things that I thought I should do. And I think sometimes, Lord, you must have made some mistake by saving me. I didn't do those things that you wanted me to do. But you know, God didn't save me for what I would do. He didn't save you for what you would become. He saved you because of what He is. He's merciful. Your salvation is not about you. It's about Him. And He saves a man, not for what he'll become. And He didn't make no... When God does something, He don't make mistakes. When He saved you, He didn't make no mistake. And maybe you've not done everything you were supposed to do. Maybe you didn't do what you thought God wanted you to do. But I tell you what, thinking back where God brought you from, it'll sure make you thankful for what God's did for you. Sometimes I need to get back to Bethel. Just remember where the Lord brought us from. Genesis 35, verse 6. Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now, Bethel, that means a house of God. And when he came back to Bethel, he called that place El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. You see, Jacob made that vow. He said, "God, if you'll be with me and bring me back, then you'll be my God." And when Jacob got back to Bethel, he knew that God had took care of him and brought him back in there. And it was no longer the place that he was concerned about. It was the God of that place. He was more concerned about, you know, when you get back to Bethel, you get back to God. Sometimes you need to get back to Bethel, reestablish fellowship with God. Bethel's that place of repentance and cleansing, place of remembrance. And going back to Bethel will get you back to God. You know, sometimes people get away from God. You know, the best times that I've ever had was the times that I was with the Lord and I was in His will doing what He wanted me to do. Those were the most happiest times in my life. And people, sometimes they get away from that thing. You know, don't you miss fellowship with the Lord if you're away from God? Don't you miss having that fellowship with Him? I mean, there's nobody like Him. Genesis 35, verse 9. "And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him." Now, Padan Aram, that's where Haran was. And God appeared unto Jacob when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. See, when Jacob got back to Bethel, Jacob became a new man. He got a new name. You know, Jacob means supplanter. Israel, that means a prince with God. His character had changed when he went back to Bethel. A lot of times in the Bible, when God changes a man's name, he changes his character. And, a character, reputation is what people know you by. Reputation is what people know you by. Your character is what God knows you to be. And God wants to make a good character of you. Jacob was a bad man of character for a long time, what we would consider somebody of bad character. But God changed his character. He changed his name. Jacob was a different man when he came back to Bethel. In Genesis 35, verse 11 through 15, it says, And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. You know what? Those were the same promises that God made with him clear back there in Genesis 28, 20 years ago. He made them promises. Jacob comes back to Bethel, and God reaffirms those promises once again. Sometimes you need to go back to Bethel and just remember the promises God made. Bethel is a place of reaffirmation of promises. And some of those promises you got when you got saved, Philippians 1:6 says, Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, when you got saved, God started something in you, and he's going to finish that thing. He's going to perform that thing. He said he would until the day of Jesus Christ. And maybe you've gotten away from God and forgot about that. And maybe you need to get back to Bethel, but remember, God promised you that he has started a good work in you. And something's going on. We are his workmanship. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But we are God's work, and he started a good work in us a long time ago. Sometimes we need to remember them promises. Remember Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good. 2 Timothy 4:18, And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That was one of them promises God gave you when you were saved. He was going to preserve you from every evil work, and he's going to get you into that heavenly kingdom someday. And sometimes you just need to go back there, remember them promises. And someday, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, he's coming for you. The Bible says, For the Lord himself... Now, he ain't going to send Paul, he ain't going to send John, he ain't going to send Peter. The Lord himself is coming back for you. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, them comforting words, to know that someday we're always going to be with him. You know, I've messed my fellowship up with the Lord, and sometimes it wasn't too good sometimes, but someday I'll never mess it up again. We'll always be with him. And it's good to get back to Bethel and remember them promises. Bethel's that place to reestablish fellowship with God. Bethel's that place of repentance and cleansing. Bethel is that place to remember where God saved you from. And Bethel's that place of reaffirmation. I might as well read the rest of that. Verse 13, And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. You see, maybe it's been a while since God spoke to you. You need to get back to Bethel. God spoke to Jacob at Bethel. And Jacob got away from God for a long time, and he came back to Bethel, and God was speaking to him again. It's good to have the Lord speak to you. You You know, I'm not too quick about saying the Lord told me this and the Lord told me. I know some people do that awful easily. I try not to do that very easily. And I'll tell you what, get back to Bethel, reestablish fellowship with God, get things right in your life, be thankful, remember them promises. God start speaking to you again. God start giving you some things to do. All right, that's about all I have. If we can just have a song here. How about 252? And maybe you've gotten away from God today. And maybe you've been away from God for a while. Well, maybe this message is for you. You just need to get back to Bethel. 252, stand if you would. If you know, the choir sometimes, we have this song. In the choir it says, we've wandered far from the old time preaching back to where our Savior trod. Let us lay down our sin and get right with Him. Let us go back, all go back to God. And